Joining us via telephone, Congressman Tim Walberg. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Glad to have you on board. So, busy spending time, I guess, here. Got a new bill passed with some additional COVID-19 relief. Tell us a little bit about that, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, we spent yesterday working through two bills. One, a very political bill to give another oversight committee to be used probably along the line of the impeachment investigations. It was pushed by Nancy Pelosi and passed on a pure party line vote. Another oversight committee allegedly looking at how the CARES Act and other COVID-19 related piece of spending are being spent, even though we already have eight oversight committees or commissions put in place by law, first passed with the CARES Act. So that was a bit frustrating as that debate went on for an awful long time. But finally got to the main act, which we wanted to do almost 16 days ago, and had been held up by Speaker Pelosi trying to get Green New Deal stuff in and changing of our elections process and the like. Nothing to do with COVID-19. But finally, in the Senate, push came to shove, got it over to us, and ultimately we passed it in a very strong bipartisan fashion, adding about $310 billion to the payroll protection program that has been used so well by especially our small businesses. It was only meant for small business, 500 employees or less. And that's pretty much where it's been. A few abuses that we found and have been rectified so far, including Harvard University. But for the most part, it's gone almost 50% to businesses with $60,000 payrolls or less. And so we're talking of true small businesses. Had a few glitches with it, but it still worked extremely well. And it's right now saved approximately 30 million jobs. As long as we get up and running to a greater degree than we are right now, within 8 weeks of the loans being put in place for the businesses, that was spent almost 2 weeks ago. About 10 days, $349 billion were loaned out to be used by these small businesses, and if used according to the law, they will ultimately become grants, not needing to be paid back. So we hope that they don't, because that will mean that they've kept their employees. We added another $310 billion to that yesterday to pick up those that have already applied and been approved, but the money wasn't there for them. We're grateful that our lending institutions, our small banks especially, and the credit unions have really stepped up to the plate in a very uncertain time and never have done this program before. But they really worked at it, and for the most part, it's been a good success. We added also $75 billion for healthcare entities, hospitals, healthcare providers, primarily looking at the problem that had developed, especially with rural healthcare, rural hospitals, who really didn't have any type of a surge of COVID-19 patients, but were told they couldn't keep their doors open to non-essential surgeries or procedures. Hopefully that won't have huge impact with people who should have had a mammogram or colonoscopy or something like that during this time period, but it had to be put off, and now hopefully very soon we open it up to those type of things. We're not going to find people with advanced progress problems that could really compromise their health. So our effort is to try to assist these hospitals to stay viable. We've seen rural hospitals really take it on the chin. In a conversation with the head of Jackson Allegiance, Henry Ford, they're doing great, working hard. Of course, they're in a major healthcare system that helps, but there's still challenges there. And so we really want to get back to the point where we can let hospitals do what they need to do, as well as take care of COVID-19 and all that goes on with that.
Yeah, Henry Ford Health System-wide, they had a something like 2,800 furloughs or layoffs recently. So, I mean, the big systems are feeling effects too, right?
The big systems are feeling effects as well because they've been told they can only do COVID-19 related issues or emergency healthcare issues. And so, no, they've had an impact also. But we had funding in for them in the first bill that would moderate some of those negative impacts. But the hospitals are sticking at it. You know, when I talked with Paula there at Henry Ford Allegiance in Jackson, very positive. We're doing what we have to do. We're not complaining. We're moving forward, taking care of all the patients that we have, plus a few more that have been shifted from other parts of their healthcare system to take up some of the need in the Metro Detroit area. So we're doing what we have to do, and it's sure impressive to see these healthcare providers, the nurses, the doctors, the EMTs, people being pressed into various forms of service, some that they haven't done before, and doing it well. Our first responders, but you think of also people that we sadly have neglected to really appreciate as much as we should in the past, like our grocery store clerks. Think about our trash haulers. All of those are essential. They're out there. They're doing their job for our best interests, and we ought to be extremely grateful to them. Our postal workers, they're still out amidst all of this going on, and we just now would like to see more of our employees being able to go back to safe, generally safe places to work. And I react when we talk about essential or non-essential jobs or employees, because in this economy, I think everyone's essential to pull their own weight and move forward. Just like in broadcasting, I think a lot of people have come to see what you guys do as far more essential, especially on the local level. Talking about what's going on here has been really important, but I'd like to see our lawnmowers get back out, those crews. I'd like to see marinas operating again, at least to put the boats in the water. I'd like to see car dealerships opening carefully, but being able to do the same thing that they're doing in Ohio, selling to people and doing it in a productive way and not expanding COVID-19. I'd like to see furniture stores open again because, frankly, furniture stores never have too many people in at one time. And I think we could look at it in a common sense way and begin to give a morale boost to our citizens, too, in feeling like they're just not trapped by an enemy that they can't see, touch, hear, feel, but's out there. But there ought to be things that we can common sense-wise do and start to feel like, hey, we're not captive.
In your conversations with leadership at Henry Ford Allegiance Health and anywhere else, honestly, they're releasing information with the MD, the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, on the availability of personal protective equipment, and it looks like most of those hospitals have an amount that's satisfactory. Is that your understanding also?
Absolutely, absolutely, and they keep ramping up. So right now, you know, if I recollect, in talking with Paula there at Allegiance, they had enough certainly for the coming week, and then there would be more shipments coming in. We're producing more ourselves, and they're not in a surge hospital, and hopefully they never will be, even though in Jackson we've seen our fair share of deaths, and we mourn that, but it hasn't been a surge situation. And now we're producing a lot of these things. Even Jackson businesses are producing some of these PPEs, face masks, et cetera. So we're picking it up. I think, Steve, this certainly illustrates why we need to be independent, not only in our energy, which is challenged right now because of what has happened in the glut in the world market of energy, but we need to be able to produce all of our drugs, all of our antivirals, all of our vaccines, all of our PPEs, all of our equipment here in the United States. And I think we've seen that too much of that came from China. When you stop and think that most of the drugs that we use, component parts at the very least, come from China. That's a dangerous situation when you have a country that was unwilling to tell us the truth about COVID-19 when it started, till weeks later when they had also infected the rest of the world by not blocking off people going from their nation to other parts of the world and not telling us. And so we've learned something. Not only now are we pushing back on production of steel, et cetera, bringing it back to the United States. But I think most of the other supplies will not be based in China, so that they have such an impact upon what we're doing. The president was right when he said we're going to have a trade war with China if necessary, because we've been treated wrongly, because we let them do it, and I'm not going to let them do it anymore. So those are things we're learning, and we're learning the hard way to some extent.
Going back to the $484 billion coronavirus relief bill just passed, includes reportedly $25 billion in funding to develop and expand access to tests for COVID-19.
Right.
How important do you see testing to solving this COVID-19 crisis going forward?
Well, it won't solve, but it will assist us in opening our economy again, because if we are able to test more readily, even at the work site, and especially at the work site, we'll know that we're safe to get back to work. You know, we yesterday wrestled with voting, for example. And our two votes that we had yesterday took us approximately 4 hours to run through two votes that normally would have taken, two votes could have taken us 20 minutes mm-hmm. or less. And we can't function that way. One of our doctors from Florida who's in Congress said, you know, there are tests available right now that we could test our serial virus capabilities or whether we carry it, whether we've had it. He says, I'm safe because I had it and I survived it. But we could do that and get ourselves back to functioning as an essential part of life here in this country. The Constitution says we are, so why are we not functioning in session in Washington, D.C., having committee hearings and doing what we need to do to keep the country moving? I agree totally with him. And I think we ought to go back, and I think we ought to get into as normal setting as possible, doing the appropriate things about social distancing. We can do that. And we could have voted a lot faster yesterday had we not done it in 9 segments at each for each bill, and then 15 minutes in between to sanitize the chambers again and start the whole process over, when, in fact, when I voted the first bill, I was the eighth segment because of my name starting with W. I was the only one in the entire chambers, as far as a member of Congress, voting at the point I put my card in the voting box. It's ridiculous to think it took that long. We could not function in dealing with the types of bills, the amendments, the debate, all that needs to go on if we continue that way. So that's where testing can come in. It could be done quickly. We would know how many of us have had it. We can know how many of us haven't. We can know how many have it and need to stay away and get back to work. And the same thing can be done if we have testing capabilities that are ramping up. We're getting better at that. And I think we will soon have the ability to give security to our auto workers, for instance, to go back to their assembly plants, come in the morning, have their temperature checked, have a serovirus check initially for coming back. And then I think there's some sense that after that, we have to do the right things and report on ourselves if necessary, if we feel sick, be responsible. But let's not shut this economy down anymore, because we're going to have significant problems, I'm certain, and all of the healthcare authorities are saying the same thing: the mental health issues, the suicides, the alcohol abuse, child abuse, the spousal abuse that can go on from people being frustrated that their life is on hold and they feel that they have no control, or they've lost everything that they had accumulated by hard work. All of that can have some significant problems, and so that's why we have never been totally safe in our culture. Flu epidemic always goes on, but we don't shut down the economy. This is different, granted. This is more silent and more dangerous initially, but still the majority of people survive this as well. And I think we need to look at it rationally and say, sure, if it's May 1st that we're going to wait to see how the trend is going, so be it. But then let's be common sense in starting to resurrect this economy, resurrect the society, and get forward.
Congressman, is there again, we've noticed that I may be missing out or not paying close enough attention, but we had the early coronavirus relief bill, the CARES Act. We have this $484 billion. Is there negotiation or beginnings of additional spending that's going to come as a result of reacting to COVID-19?
Yeah, there's talk of it. There's talk of a phase four.
Okay.
But a lot of us are saying, let's be cautious. Let's see how this all works out first before we start dumping it. If we looked at all of the bills related to COVID-19 that have been passed so far and what executive orders have done, we're looking at, the last number I saw was over $6 trillion of expenditures, including the almost $3 trillion we've done so far just with this CARES Act.
Mm-hmm.
That money is basically being printed out of thin air. Now, that's based upon the fact that if we get ourselves back to the place where we can open up the economy again, a lot of that will be brought back and paid back by people getting back to work, paying their taxes, and growing the economy like it was mm-hmm. just 5 weeks ago. But that's not certain until we do it. And that's why I think we need to get back as soon as possible, because we're spending our great-grandchildren's future right now. And there is no country in the history of the world that has ultimately spent itself into oblivion that survived. And America is a great country, but the same principles that have destroyed other countries could destroy ours as well. So there was plenty of talk on the floor yesterday during the debate time that while we're willing to vote for this today, yet we have to think seriously about stopping this expenditure and letting what has worked in America like no other place in the world, economy, build our revenue and secure our future. So, yeah, we've spent a lot of money, and it's being printed, and we've had to do it. I mean, even as a conservative, do I bristle at voting on bills like this? Yet I've got to admit, we were the ones that shut the economy down. We were the ones that told people to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
We were the ones that said the businesses, viable businesses doing very well, you can't stay open. You've got to close your restaurants. You've got to close your dealership. You've got to close this, that, and the other thing, unless you're considered essential insurance or essential business. And then even that, we reduced their ability to have their normal business because we shut down the other businesses. So,
mm-hmm.
so it was our fault or our responsibility, however you want to look at it. And we had to take care of it in some way to try to make sure with the PPP program that employees knew that at least for 8 weeks they would receive their paycheck, and hopefully within those 8 weeks we'd start to open up their business again and they could go back to work. So this is the gamble. It's being done with best intentions and best information and statistics that we can find, but it's still all uncertain ground. And so I think we're going the right direction. You know, we're still seeing deaths and we're still seeing cases develop, but we've seen a leveling off.
Sure.
And hopefully we'll use good sense and not live in fear, but good sense and start moving again.
Yeah. I guess with the best data and that you have, that kind of stuff that you guys have been looking at, I'm sure you're keeping an eye on it. How long is the anticipation before the economy can maybe start to flirt with how, you know, how great it was going 5 weeks ago? How long do you anticipate maybe taking to get back to that point, if it's possible?
Oh, wow. The best evidence I've seen is that we'll only start to see a strengthening that looks like what we used to have before, not reach the level immediately,
mm-hmm.
but by the late fall.
Okay.
I was talking, had a long conversation with the hospitality industry people just the other day. I think it was Thursday. Yesterday was Thursday. It was Wednesday when I was in Washington when I got there.
Uh-huh.
And they don't see themselves getting back to any place other than about 35% of their capacity usage before August at the earliest, if we were to open,
mm-hmm.
you know, within the next 2 weeks, because people will be fearful to some point about going to a hotel and and staying there and eating at their restaurant. And they were saying it would take probably till the middle of 2021 before they could start seeing all of the business travel start to come back toward a normal setting. So we're looking at 21-22 for the hotel industry, hospitality wow. industry. Restaurants would be similar, though I think some of them would open and succeed more quickly, depending on us, whether we're willing to go into a restaurant that will be doing various things to keep people distanced a bit. But no, it's going to be a little while. Now you get into manufacturing, those type of things, I think you'll see it come back more quickly, and that's where a lot of money is. But I mean, you think of the air traffic. I flew on Wednesday with 11 of us on board, and three of those were pilots just being transported to wherever they were going to take off, I guess in Washington, D.C. next. And so there were probably only 7 or 8 of us who were so-called paying customers. And then going home last night from D.C., it was very similar. Looking at the tote board that's up showing the departures and arrivals there in Detroit Metro, normally it's 18 to 20 panels of these departures or arrivals flights. There were 3 panels. That was it. So in a hub like Detroit, if you have only 3 panels, think about other airports and how few there would be going in and out. So
sure.
we've met a challenge, and now the time is to say, are we willing, as Americans, to tough it out to some degree, to put on a brave face, to put on the mask with that brave face if necessary, but to step out and move forward. And I'm hoping, I personally, from all of the stats that I have, the information I've gleaned from talking multiple conference calls with industries, et cetera, we could probably open a number of them right now, certainly by May 1st, and we could do it in a safe way. And I think we ought to be talking not so much about essential and non-essential services, but we ought to talk about safe and questionable workplaces. And what? I think there are plenty more safe places than not.
I think that bookends the conversation. Great. I've kept you long enough, Congressman. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you do the same. Congressman Tim Walberg.